Oh, how good God is to us and how wonderful his blessing is. Good morning to you all. I hope y'all are doing well. And we are looking forward to this message today of what God's going to do and say. You say, well, Pastor, you're the pastor. You ought to know what's coming. Sometimes I don't. I don't know what the Lord wants to say to us. And I pray that each and every person would receive a visit from the Lord. And I ask you to do that, Lord. We thank you for this service. We thank you for your word. And I pray that you will send a word that is tailor-made, God-made for each and every individual here today. And that we will learn and will change and grow. And that we'll be more like you, more like your son. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this sermon is God Accepts Us in His Beloved. That God accepts you, accepts me, no matter what we have done, or what people say we have done, or what we have thought, no matter the sins that you've committed, you are accepted. And acceptance is a very powerful thing. When we are accepted, we are empowered. And God has empowered us through the Holy Spirit. God accepts us in His beloved. Now, you can't get any higher than somebody you love, that they are your love. Beloved. Beloved. God accepts us in His beloved, His one and only Son, so that you and I could become His sons and daughters. I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 1. I may read a lot from Ephesians today. I may not. Father, I ask that you'd inspire me and that you'd give me what you want read. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul states that God has made us accepted in the beloved. Paul doesn't say, oh, to God, I have found the beloved. No, God has made us accepted in the beloved. We are not accepted. God made us accepted. Not like making us do something. We're talking about a new creation. That each and every one of us in God is a new creation in Christ. And accepted us in the beloved. And as I said, no matter what your past or what you did last week or all your failures, God says that you are beloved. Can you imagine that? We need to do more than imagine it. We are beloved. God has made us and has accepted us beloved. In His beloved. You know who that His beloved is? It's you. But it's Christ as well. Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. His beloved, special Son. But what the Father has done, He's given His Son, in a sense, for us. That His Son would live and die for our sins. The Son who is innocent dies. Where else can you find this but in God? That God would send His Son, who is God as well, to die for us. That we are accepted in the beloved. Let me go on. This acceptance is not due to your own works, that you finally got your life together, that you finally made it. No. The acceptance that God gives to us, this acceptance is not due to your own works, but a gift of grace. A gift of grace. The phrase accepted is translated from the Greek term. Now, y'all hold on for this because I am not. It's Greek to me, y'all. I cannot. I've practiced this word. I didn't want to embarrass anybody, but the Lord, please help me in pronouncing this word. I want you to get this. accepted. The phrase accepted is translated from the Greek term, and we'll spell it first, charito. Charito. It is a feminine statement. Not statement, but a feminine word. Charito. It means grace. I'm going to try it one more time. Ready? Charito. It signifies giving freely and extravagantly. What's saying here? What the Lord is saying is that through his son, he is accepting us because our sins would not have qualified us. But it's not based upon what we have done. It's based upon what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's all credited to us. You see, that's not fair. God is not fair, but God is good. And God is great. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a great thing that God would give his only son who's perfect to us who are sinners? And not only that, would come and charito us and give freely to us everything, everything. Let me continue to read. The phrase again, accepted, is translated from the Greek term charito, which signifies giving freely and extravagantly. God's love is extravagant. He's not just putting on the rich. He's extravagant with it. He's showering it down on us. You know, I want to demonstrate this, if you would bear with me, how God loves us. One song says, oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us so. Imagine this. Imagine, thank you, my love, Mike. Oh, isn't she a beautiful assistant here on TV? Thank you. You can stay here because I don't know what I'm going to do next. Imagine in this cup, as another song says, fill my cup, Lord, to running over. God fills the cup to running over. And in each one of these white balls, you can say it's snow, you can say it's hell, you can say whatever it is. But it's something extravagant, something valuable. And God comes without me doing anything. There you go, my love. Me accomplishing anything. With sins, he comes and charitos me. Right. Yes. Oh, look at that. Look at all those blessings. I didn't earn them. You say, Pastor, what's that on your head? A chicken? No. It's something extravagant. And notice, it looked like a little bit. You say, couldn't they have done better than that? Yeah, thank God does do better than that. And he comes and lavishes, if you please, from that little cup to a Home Depot size bucket. And guess what? Look, look, he lavishes his love. He lavishes his righteousness on me, and I didn't have to earn it. I just have to pick up the mess after the services today. I'm just kidding. But I want you to see, it's just an illustration about how God loves us. He doesn't hold back. He pours it on. And he wants us to be that way towards others as well. But most importantly, he wants us to receive it and to be thankful for it. I'm going to go back and read another verse here in Ephesians 1, chapter 6. He goes on to say, I'm going to read it again. This acceptance is not due to our own works, but a gift of grace. I'm going to go on from the extravagance that God so loved the world that he gave, John 3:16, his only begotten son. And I believe that what God did through his son is made a way when there was no way possible for you and I with all of our sins to be worthy of it. But he made a way when there was no way. And he made a way through his son. And I believe that Jesus is not just the Son of God, but he is a dwelling place for us. Jesus said this, and speaking to the Pharisees, he said, I'm paraphrasing it, if you take this life, I'm going to raise it up after 3 days. He says, if you destroy this temple, that's what he was getting at, the temple, which was sacred to the Jews. He says, if you destroy this temple, and then he reverted it back to himself, that he was the temple of God. He says, if you destroy this temple, I will raise it up on the third day. That's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is meant to be a channel of God's love and of God's grace so that others can be saved who are not righteous. But notice, God accepts his beloved. God accepts us and his beloved. That when God deals with us, he knows he's dealing with his son. And he lavishes his son. He didn't hold back. He loves his son. He didn't hold back. He didn't scrimp. I said, okay, you can hand this piece of paper over here and you make sure you clean it up afterwards. No. He pours it on. And he wants us to realize that Jesus Christ is his dwelling place. And that we can run and run into his love and to his grace. And we are safe. And we are saved by the blood of Jesus. Jesus is not only a man. He's not only God. He's a place. He's our dwelling place where he lavishes his love, where he loves us, where he forgives us, and accepts us as his beloved, or accepts us in his beloved, that he is like a brother to us. The Father loves us with the same intensity and the same grace that he loved his son. And he continues that to his death. And that ought to give us peace. That ought to give us confidence that we can come into the temple of God. Jesus. I look at Jesus as being the temple of God, where God dwells. You say, well, Jesus is not made of stones or wood, and that's a church. And he says, no, we're talking about a spiritual temple where we can come before him and receive forgiveness and love and grace, just like he did his son. And nobody can take it away. God accepts us in his beloved. And it's a wonderful blessing. A wonderful, wonderful blessing. I want us to prepare to hear a song here. And I want us to think about what's been said and how great God's love is. That God so loved not just the world, but that he so loved Earl. He so loved what your name is. He really, really loves you. And God accepts you. Not by the works you have done. Not by you being good for the next week. How about that? God, would you accept that? No. It would take all eternity. It would take all of time and space. So it can't be done. It only has been done by Jesus. That God accepts us in his beloved, who's Jesus, and is perfect in every way. What a love is that? That God would do that for us. What a love. What a love that is. I want to do something a little bit different today as we enter the Lord's Supper. I want us to take some quiet moments, just a few. And I want us to think about how God accepts you individually. I have to look at Earl Williams. The scripture says a person should examine themselves before they eat of the Lord's meal. I want us to take some time now and examine ourselves. And I want us to examine ourselves not just for our failures, but for the triumphs of the Lord What do I mean by that? Just take time to thank God for his grace, for his mercy, for his unfathomable love, that how he sees us as his beloved. When he looks at us, he sees his beloved son. Take a moment and just ask God to give you a heart to see how great God's love has been and is for us, that he would accept Earl Williams, the sinner, as his beloved. And in the beloved, we can eat, we can drink of the body and the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love for us. Bless each and every person who hears this message to look to you, Lord, and to see how great a love this is. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless this bread. We receive your Son, his body that was beaten and marred and nailed to make us flawless, to make us just like your Son. And so we receive your Son. In faith, we receive the body of Jesus and the life of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you for giving the life of your Son so that we may have life. Eternal life, now and forevermore. What father would do that? Only you, Father. Only you. Only you, Jesus, would be willing to lay down your life for the glory of God. And as we drink this wine, let us receive it as the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all of our sins. Therefore, we can be accepted in the beloved, pure and holy and sinless. We ask you to bless this in Jesus' name, that we would experience it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's listen to the song, Jesus at the Center of It All. Without you, Jesus, we have nothing, but you at the center of it all. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. The center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus.
Nothing else matters. Nothing in this Jesus, come on, shout that.